And maybe you can go home and read it. I'll read a few. So with my title being four chapters of Jonah, I'm of course going to go to James chapter 1, verse 17. But then I'm going to go to Hebrews 13 and 8 after that. So, you know, you're ahead of me there. James 1, 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from heaven, from the Father of lights. In him, there's no variableness. What God said, what God does is exact. His word is right. There's neither a shadow of him turning. There's no chance that God is ever going to go back on his word. Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Many of you have memorized both of these, I'm sure. They're very common scriptures, but I want to use these to introduce the book of Jonah. Let's ask God's blessings. Father, touch us today and let your will be done. And oh God, alone be glorified in your word today, Lord. Today truly be the answer we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing and thank you for worshiping. Amen. What a wonderful presence of God in this place, provided through the worship that, of course, he inhabits. The four chapters of Jonah. The reason I have titled it the four chapters of Jonah is Jonah didn't have to be four chapters long. It didn't have to be as long as it was at all. But let me go back to our Father of Lights. He is the Father of Lights, both natural light and spiritual light. And as Hebrews tells us, he never changes. And from our unchanging Father comes our daily gifts that we get from him, benefits that he gives all of his kids. But the chief of those gifts is, of course, the baptism of the Holy Ghost that he will give all who ask him. There's no one that should ever walk out of an apostolic service and say, I wish I had what they have. All you've got to do to receive the Holy Ghost is just repent. Lord, forgive me of my sins. That is it. Repent of your sins. Raise your hands and begin to praise him. And when you do, knowing that he will fill you, open up your mouth and begin to speak, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you'll begin to speak in other tongues as his Spirit gives you the utterance to do so. Oh, it's a free gift, and anybody can receive it at any time. And right behind me is a baptistry that you can be baptized in the saving name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be baptized today. You can wait till everybody leaves and be baptized. You can come back and be baptized in the morning. Private, public, it doesn't matter. Baptism is what's required. Yes. And we don't ever want to put high walls around any part of God's benefits. Amen. It's whosoever will. We want to make this accessible to any. And I believe that we have done that and try to do that. But thank God for his power of his Spirit. But while God is the same, that consistency is very difficult for us to achieve. I can't be like him on a daily basis. I try. But his Spirit inside me and the Spirit of God inside you is what lifts you and allows you to kind of be a little more steady in that pursuit of God's blessings. Now, Jonah has four chapters simply because Jonah, the man, was a man of God, but he focused in this instant on himself rather than on God and God's work. Jonah got his mind off of what God was asking him to do, and he thought to himself, I know the mercy of God. I know enough about God that now you got to read the whole book, the four chapters to get to this point that he reasons out here. But what Jonah was saying is, I know that God is a God of mercy. And even though he's sending me to that wicked city, Nineveh, to preach to them that they should repent, I know that God's mercy is greater than his judgment. And I know that God's mercy is going to be poured out on that city, and there's nothing going to happen. I just know God is going to be that way. I had a friend down the road named Donnie, and his grandmother watched them during the day whenever his mother was at work. His dad was a truck driver, rarely ever saw him. And so he would misbehave, and his grandmother would call him, and I'd say, your grandma's calling you. He goes, don't worry about it. And he'd keep playing. I'm like, whoa, he's lucky, because my mom, she don't mess with that. If she's calling me and she can see the back of my head down there, there's going to be some retribution. She's going to carry out the sentence upon me, and it's not going to be a nice thing. And I got away with a lot, trust me. You know, my mom wasn't a strict schoolmaster. She was just a good parent. But my friend, one day she comes walking down the street with a leather strap that I saw in their house. They had, it's a leather strap. It wasn't a belt. It's a leather strap. It might have been a razor strop, you know, that they rubbed their knife on the barber's. I don't know, but it was a nasty-looking, mean thing. And she comes walking, and she was very old, and so she just walked very slow, and she had that leather. And I thought, oh, here it comes. And sorry to be this way, but I was excited about this. I was really looking forward to seeing her tear him up because, you know, we had our differences, and I was getting ready to see him really face judgment. And I was excited about that. Good Christian boy as I was looking forward to seeing her wear him out. And she comes down, and I said, oh, you're about to get it, man. He went, I don't care. I'm not scared. I was like, oh, this is going to be good. She grabbed him by the arm and turned him around. I wish I had something I could demonstrate with. I'm not taking my belt off because, you know, who knows. And she just started going, I told you to get home. It was barely touching him. And she walked him all the way home. It's going this fast. I'm speeding it up for you so we can get out of here early. But and I'm thinking, what's that? You need to let my mom help you out. Because there's nothing to that right there. And she walked him all the way home, just tearing the cloth on the back of his pants, just not up at all, touching him. I remember just thinking, if only that's what I got. But see, the problem was he already knew that's what he was getting. That's why he said, I don't care. Let her come down here. I don't care. I thought he had lost his mind. No, he's just being normal. Because there's not going to be anything to pay. If that's worse she can give out, man, he can rob banks, I guess, next week. But that was my friend that never really learned to behave. Because that's really all that he ever got. So you kind of realize Jonah. Jonah understood the mercy of God was greater than his judgment. And he understood that I'm going to go all the way to that wicked city and I'm going to preach. And God's not going to do one thing that I'm telling him he's going to do because he's a God of mercy. You kind of see how Jonah got on the wrong side of the mercy and the judgment of God. Instead of being the voice of God and allowing God to be God, he said, instead of going to Nineveh, I think I'm going to go to Joppa and get on a boat and head out in the ocean instead of going to Nineveh, the wicked city. 120,000 people or something like that. And the Lord said they can't even discern their right hand from their left. They are spiritually blind and the most wicked people ever. If you read history about Nineveh, the Bible doesn't do justice as far as the wickedness of these people. They were cruel to the enemies that they captured. They tortured people. They worshiped false gods. They didn't believe in the Almighty God. So how in the world are they going to turn around? Because Jonah knew something about his God, that when God anoints the man of God to speak, he knew there was going to be power in what he was preaching. And when he goes there, he knows these people are going to respond to the preaching and drop everything they're doing and repent in sackcloth and ashes. He knew that was going to happen. He later said to the Lord, I knew that would happen. That's why I didn't go. But God needed a preacher. I wonder if perhaps Jonah was saying, you know what? I'm not the only man around that can preach that sermon. They've heard us all preach it. God, pick somebody else to go to the wicked city. I know what's going to happen. I know you're not going to spank them. I know your mercy is greater than your judgment. So I'm just going to do what I want to do. And he did what he wanted to do. And instead of a brochure, we get four chapters. Instead of a footnote, or maybe just a little blurb in one of the other chapters of the Bible, he created his own story, because God had to deal with the mouthpiece. God had to deal with the prophet Jonah. We have to subscribe to the processes of God. Young people, this is where you come in at, is we have to subscribe. We have to sign up to the processes of God if we want to receive the benefits from God. Now, this is from my heart today. The age of graduation, 17, 18, 19, those are the ages where more young people leave the church than any other age. It's not their 20s. It's not when they're 14. But it's at that, and there's no mystery. It's at that point where you get rights, you can make decisions, and you can do what you want to do. And you've been in a good church, and you've heard the preaching of the mercy of God, and you've received the benefit of a good church. And there's this attitude that kind of envelops us, this safe mechanism to where we feel, God, you're a merciful God. Lord, and I know people that have gone out and come back. And I'm not intending to leave the church. No, Lord, I'm not doing that. But I'm just going to go over here and do what mature people do, and I'm going to start my life. No intention of leaving the church. But here's what happens, is it starts with just one thing. Jonah didn't end up in the bottom of a boat with men knocking on the cabin door saying, bud, we need to go throw you overboard. He didn't end up that way. It ended up with him hearing the word of God, and instead of turning to go to Nineveh, he turned and said, what about Joppa? I could just go to Joppa. Is anything wrong with Joppa? You weigh it out. Joppa was a seaport. Joppa was an easy place to go to. Nineveh, you got to go over some desert. You've got to travel a while to go to Nineveh. But Joppa, we don't hear about any evil there. We don't hear that they slaughtered people and treated them cruelly. Joppa's an easy place to go because you can get on boats, and the boats can take you out for an adventure that gets me away from the conviction or the call that I feel drawing me in another direction. And I want to tell all of you young people, you've all got a call of God on your life. Yes. Amen. You have a call of God. We talk about a call. When we talk about a call, it's not saying everybody here is called to a pulpit ministry. But everybody that subscribes to God and says, Lord, I want your will, are going to be called into something. Yes, amen. Because you're gifted in a way that no one else is like you. And I'm not here just trying to get people to sign up to help us at church. We've got a lot of things we need help with. But more than that, young people, you need to attach yourself to a ministry in the church. You need to attach yourself to something that you're passionate about, or pray that God would give you a passion for the things in the kingdom of God. Amen. Because there's many ships going to Joppa, and while it may look so innocent and it seems like everything would be all right, and what's the danger in it? Hold on a minute. Look back in the face of God and say, Lord, is this what you would have me to do? Are you calling me in another direction? Are you reaching out trying to draw me into a place, Lord, that I might be missing it? It's never too late to stop and say, God, let me obey what you're asking me to do today. Church, I'm saying this today because I've seen so many young people just jump off and jump off and jump off. And the process wasn't standing behind a sign that said, here's where you jump off, here's where you leave the church. No, it was a gradual thing. It was just going a slightly different direction until one day you're just not there anymore. You start off just a few degrees off the mark, but 5 years down the road, you look back and say, well, I've got to justify where I'm at, and therefore I must find somebody like me that I can say they're okay, that means I'm okay, or I'll have to admit I'm off the mark. I've gone away from the will of God. It starts in stages. First he said, I'm just going to go to Joppa. The word down was used in the book of Jonah. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed how many times the word down was used, but he went down about 4 or 5 times. That's just what happens to you when you go to Joppa. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, that's chapter 1, verse 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. He's telling him the same thing, but he's not the same man, is he? The first Jonah was probably dressed in nice clothes, probably was, you know, had a toothpick picking his teeth after a nice lunch, still had the crushed ice in his cup, minding his own business, and the Lord shakes him and says, All right, I need you to go to Nineveh, and you're going to preach for me. And he's like, that wasn't what I was thinking about doing today. No, not Nineveh. And he turns the other direction, goes to Joppa. Well, you know, as I said, things don't always work out. Jonah rose in verse 3, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down. There you go, Jonah. You went down. That right there should tell you when you go down, you're in the wrong direction, because the will of God is always up. Even if you're going into a trial, the will of God is always up. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. So he went down to Joppa, went down into the ship to go into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down into Joppa. He went down into a ship. In verse 5, the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man into his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship. The ship's sinking, so let's get rid of everything in the ship that we think might keep it from floating, because we really want to float, and let's lighten them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. You think you can get lower, and here it is. He not went down to Joppa, now he went down into the ship. Now he goes down into the bottom of the ship, and he lay there fast asleep. Can you believe the man could sleep through this error that he was committing? He could possibly sleep because maybe he had such faith in God's mercy. Lord, they may not need a preacher, because your mercy is so great, you can raise up out of that city a prophet. I remember how you called me. You can call a prophet. I just don't think you need me for that job. Have you ever thought that this church, just let's talk about this church, because I'm not trying to farm people out to other ones. I like this one. I like all of you here. Have you ever thought that this church might have the ministry that you need? A void that only you can fill? Well, not long ago, came up to the front and prayed and said, Lord, let your will be done. I did. I said, Lord, let your will be done. So, it's more than that. It's intentionally focusing on a walk with God, embracing Him, and saying, God, show me your way. Show me your will. Let me find it. Let me find it. Let me find it. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, not everybody grows up, stays in their church. Amen. Otherwise, I'd still be in Arlington, Texas. So, God calls you to places. And that's why when God uses us and sends us places, we don't like tie a rope on you and use the guilt trip the whole time you're leaving. Saying, you're out of the will of God. You're out of the will of God. That's the worst thing I want. I don't ever want to do it to somebody. I want them to leave knowing I'm in the will of God. Amen. If somebody has to leave, let them leave in the will of God. Yeah. If it wasn't for people leaving churches, where would the missionaries and the evangelists and the pastors come from? We need those things. Amen. We need those things. Some of you are going to get a great job, and that job is going to transfer you to Timbuktu 3 or 2. And there you go. And I'm going to go, well, Lord, why? And while I'm crying as you're leaving, somebody else has been transferred here, and they're walking in, and we're going, well, all right, we'll take that. God's good. We've seen it happen too many times. Amen. So we understand that we're not trying to build a commune. We're just about the kingdom of God. But Joppa is not the place to go. Running away from a call of God is not the place to go. Pastor, I didn't know you knew I had a call. Everybody has a call of God on their life. The key is finding what that call is. Finding what the call, the worst thing, and here's something the enemy is a master at, and that is taking a hold of you and trying to make you feel that there's nothing in the church that you're really good at. They can't use you. They've got all the spaces filled. Just go ahead and find yourself somewhere out there. There's nothing you can do. There's always something you can do. This is the greatest place to be busy in the world. Amen. Amen. Doing something for God. Doing something for the kingdom of God. Joppa's not the option that we need to look to, church. That's not the place we need to go. We need to say, Lord, you're calling me, but I want to understand where you're calling me to. See, he not only told Jonah the town, but he told him what to do. You got to go and preach to them people. They need a revival. They need to be turned. Right. And yet, these were some very, very wicked people. And so, our story doesn't stop with Jonah going down into the bottom of the ship. But the ship was experiencing so much chaos, they came and opened the door and said, "What in the world have you done?" Now, these men weren't scholars. They weren't biblical scholars. They weren't religious men. They were fishermen. They were wayfaring men. You know, they sailed ships. And so they didn't understand anything other than the fact that when this man came on board, chaos ensued. So they just figured it's got to be this man. And the Bible says they cast lots and the lot went to Jonah. Wow. They said, "Jonah, we cast lots and you're the man. What's going on with you?" He said, "Oh, I'm the one." Jonah was so confident that he was the one. He said, "What you guys need to do is pick me up. How bad does your life got to be? How sure are you that you're out of the will of God when you can tell somebody, you guys need to pick me up and throw me over. Just go ahead and throw me overboard. No, throw me overboard and that's where I got to go. I promise you before then or after then, they had never heard that before. I need some volunteers. Throw me over into the ocean." To Jonah, he was just saving their life. He was a man of God. He recognized, I ran from God. He goes, and now the ocean is angry, and our God's angry because of what I've done. Therefore, throw me over so you guys can live. I'm about to kill all of you. See, that was the preacher part of him. All they saw was running away from Nineveh part of him. Like, let somebody else do the job. I don't want to go to Nineveh. Because he knew God's mercy was bigger than his judgment. But now, the ministry side of Jonah kicked in and he said, just throw me over because I'd rather die than you die. At least I'll be saved. And they threw him over. And the reason Jonah has four chapters is because we have to read about that whale. The Bible calls it a whale in the New Testament. It was a great fish in the Old Testament, so you can go ahead and say it was a whale. And that whale swallows him. Now, I've seen cutaways, drawings, and pictures of whales and their bellies. And in a whale's belly, there's not like room to put this chair. It's not like a one-room apartment. A whale's belly is just small. And being in there was not going to be like a picnic. Like, oh, look what he ate. And, you know, no. Jesus compared the tomb being like Jonah in the belly of the whale. A tomb. Saying that when Christ died, those 3 days weren't a picnic. Excruciating weight, the sin of the world upon him. And here is Jonah, a type of Christ, going into the belly of a whale for 3 days and nights with the weight of a city on him that are so spiritually blind they can't discern from their right hand or their left. But they got to have a preacher. They need a preacher. There's something that only you can do, Jonah. And whenever he was now thrown after from the bottom of the ship, now he's thrown into the bottom of the ocean. He goes to the bottom of the ocean and the whale swallows him. And now he's in the belly of a whale. He's in the bottom of a whale's belly. I thought about this as I was studying this week. I thought, I tell you, that man really was suffering. Thrown over, eaten by a fish, but 3 days later, the fish throws him up. 3 days later, like the death of Christ. And it took that whale a while to get him to safe ground. See, here's what happened. When Jonah was put inside that fish was under the complete control of God. Even when he went over the ship, God provided salvation. Right. Because there's still a city there that needs a preacher. Strange. But Jonah, you're not running from this. You're called. You're called to a ministry. And God's providing something right there for you. And that whale swims to the nearest land and deposits Jonah. And I get the idea that Jonah hit the ground literally running. Running. I've got to get there because I might be too late. I don't ever want to spend 3 days like that again. Anybody ever been out of the will of God and paid for it? This is my hand up. I've been there. All right, 7 people have in this church have been out of the will of God. All right, let me rephrase that. 7 honest people. No. We've all been there. We know that. And I will tell you, I don't like being in God's corner. I'm not talking about the corner where God works. I'm talking about the corner where He says, go sit in the corner. My first grade teacher called me to the front for singing out loud. And she said, what am I going to do with you? I was petrified. I didn't realize I was disturbing the class. And I got 2 choices. You got 2 choices. I can take you out in the hall and I can give you licks with a paddle. I'd feared that. That was the thing I feared about school was the paddles they spanked with. And so I feared the paddle. She goes, or you can go sit in the baby corner. And it was a big desk that the 6th graders use. And we're in the little desk. And so it makes you look little. And I said, I'll sit in the baby corner. You know, who cares? It's the desk you sit in. And she suppressed a laugh, I later found out, and said, would you be okay? Do you think you can behave if I let you go sit back in your desk? Of course, I picked that 3rd choice right away. Yes, ma'am, I will. Later, when she came to visit me when I was sick, I heard her laughing and telling my mom the story. I thought, it's all a joke, these teachers. You know, that's just, here, it was my worst day up to that point at school. I mean, it was horrible being pulled in front of the class and threatened to be spanked or sit in the horrible baby corner, but she had mercy on me, and she almost cracked up. Oh, it'd been awesome if she had just cracked up, but, you know, she was a professional. I realized from there, and of course, I was raised by good parents. They don't just let things go. They corrected us when we needed to with the perfect amount of correction, I must say. My mom always says, well, I think I spanked y'all too much. I said, Mom, trust me. You have no idea. If we could roll back the pages of memory now and then. Oh, my. My God, our Heavenly Father, holds you in His hand. And He whispers a calling into your life. It's up to us what we do with that pull, with that direction. It's up to us what we do with it. Young people, you that are graduating and you that will be graduating, we're proud of you. I am so proud of our youth. I am so proud of the direction your lives are going. I'm thankful for your worship in this church. We have an awesome church, not an awesome church that has youth. We have an awesome church because we have youth. Amen. God has blessed us with ministry here. Brother and Sister Gomes. And I'll tell you, Sister Gomes was 3 or 4 when they moved here. And God blessed us with the Durwas.
Yes.
And it put us at a different level. Their home, when they bought that home, it was just like, well, that's a house with a room. And that room was a youth class. And that room was our prayer room when we were using the Episcopal Church. Packed that room out. Great place. And it was right by our church we was borrowing for 5 years. And in the process of that is when the youth group formed. We have kids here. Tiffany and Jared were part of that youth group. Many of you others were part of that youth group. And the word Brother Keith just was heard every Sunday because you called him for everything. Where's Brother Keith? I'm like, so glad he's here. But through the youth department, We've seen many young people come up. They would open the church up down there, move all the chairs to the side, and have youth night and do... I told my wife, I said, I can't believe they jump rope and like it. And when you see it, you realize why it was fun. And they did all kind of activities in that place. And so many, over hundreds and hundreds, have gone through here that was a part of the church at that time. We have youth that were here for moments. We have some that came for, I know one young lady came here just for a few months, and her husband pastored a church, just for a little bit. And we had some that came here and God got a hold of them. They moved and got the Holy Ghost in another church, still serving God. God has just blessed this church with great youth and great leadership. And I thank God for it all the time. But young people, you're going to go into chapters of your life. You're going to write chapters. And it's an awesome thing what God is going to do for you. I didn't know what I was going to do when I got out of high school. I've graduated. My mom said, "You want a party?" I said, "Not really." I said, "I just, you know, I was the only graduate in our church, you know, I think, that year." And I said, "No, Mom, I'll just come home." "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah, don't worry about a party." I said, I never like birthday parties or parties. Just, you know, I'll come to them for other people, but don't let me be that one, you know. So I told Mom, don't do anything. And, of course, I knew there could be a surprise, so I was looking for the signs, and there wasn't. So it was all good. I came home and took my rented robe off, and I was wearing navy blue slacks that went with a suit. And that was it. That was my graduation. And I graduated with honor. I mean, I graduated halfway. I get us all mixed up. We have all these honors kids here. I was halfway. I was exactly middle. I mean, you couldn't be more middle than I was. 600, I'm 300 or 298 maybe. I don't know. But I was right there in the middle. Average. I was pretty proud of that, by the way, because there was a lot of room beneath me there. And I was, you know, cut right in the middle. But that point right there, when I got home, I said to myself, now what am I going to do? Because school's over. And I know the calling of God is not for me to build houses. I enjoy it, but I know that's not my calling. It's a trade. There's a calling. My mom said, "Son, we'll pay your way to college if you want to go to school." I said, "Mom, I appreciate it, but I don't know what right now. I don't want you to waste your money on me and me not know what direction I want to go." "Well, you can go ahead and start." And I said, Mom, let me just wait a little while. And I prayed about it. And let me back up before I say I prayed about it. Young people, that is the most important stage right there, is, Lord, I know what I want to do, but Lord, I want you in on this. Our churches, the United Pentecostal churches in America, it's at this point that they're all experiencing an exodus. They don't all leave the church, but many of them are saying, "I'm not leaving the church, I'm just leaving to go to school." But statistically, and I said this the other day, I know you're... scholarships and all of that. I'm not trying to control people's lives. Please don't ever think that. I'm not a dictator. I'm a pastor. I want the best thing. And if you got a scholarship paid for somewhere, you know, the Lord will be with you. Any young person can live for God anywhere if they have a passion. Amen. Any young person can live for God anywhere. You can do it. You can do it. Amen. My brother prayed halfway through his stint in the Navy and went right back out there on a ship and lived for God for the 2 years that he was there. And came back still full of the Holy Ghost. If he could do that in an atmosphere like that, and you can go to any school and you can live for God. Right. But if you can't get a grip here, If you cannot get a foothold and a grip in a church that has this kind of a dynamic worship and a youth group and a pastor and assistant pastor in ministry that loves you, you're not going to go somewhere else and say, no, I'll find a church and I'll get involved in that. No, no, it's not going to happen if you can't live for God right here. Oh, God, I'm asking you today to let a burden settle over this place that these young people can feel the urgency of the hour that we need to make a decision. I want to live for God above everything else that's in front of me. Nothing else is going to be worth it if we don't serve God and have a passion for Him. Our life can be written with just a chapter of success. Instead of Jonah had four chapters, and the fourth chapter was God having to show him that his attitude was wrong. Jonah goes out and gets under a gourd, and this leaf covers him, and then the Lord allows a worm to eat the leaf, and he's angry now because the sun is shining on him. And God said, you have more concern over that leaf that died, that gourd plant, than you do for all of the souls that are in the city that I saved. Get your priorities right, he's saying. And today, young people, that is my hope, is we prioritize, put God first, and say, Lord, instead of me going through life with you, I got God, I got a church praying for me. I'm glad I got a church praying for me. Go to your future through Christ. That means He is still your everything. See, it's when we trade Him. See, when I've got Christ right here, when God is right here, and then I come to opportunities, I have to scoot Him over sometimes to put that opportunity there because my schedule, you know, they're asking me this and I'm having to go here and I'm obligated. But go through Christ. Amen. And that is saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Pursue it with a passion. Amen. Pursue it with a passion. I'd like for us all to stand, and I would like all of our school-age children, those that are graduating up front, and all the others also, if you're in school, I'd like you to come up here and stand across the front. I knew if I did this today, if I spoke during our graduate ceremony thing, our party rather, I had too much to say and I didn't want it to be a lengthy affair. And so I'm dedicating my Sunday service sermon to these awesome young people that are up here. We had young people in our church where I grew up. And I remember we had a great youth group and we had a choir. And I was always concerned when they would leave. They'd get married, or we had several, of course, after the Vietnam War, near the end of that, there was a lot of men joining the service because they didn't want to be drafted and sent into combat. It was a tough time for our country. But I watched as they would leave and then sometimes come back. And I remember one young man left, joined the Army, and he's a good friend. He came back and he stood differently. He just stood different. I thought, I've never seen such a dramatic difference. He just had that stance about military men have. You can see it on them. Just a lot of discipline has been built into them, and it only takes a few months for them to get that. And some never lose it because they're so proud, and they should be. I love our military and what they do. And I also saw some go and get branded by the world. They involved themselves in something that they felt that it disqualified them to come back to God. And they felt that they weren't worthy. It'd be very hard for them to come back. And I would see them counsel, and I'd see people praying with them, and I, some of them I would know. Here's I want to show you an inside track of what the enemy likes to do to our kids. The enemy will try to lead you out and cause you to go further than you intended to go. So you'll regret and you will feel unworthy to come back. He wants you to feel unworthy to come back. I would like for all the other youth that are out of school now to come in behind these. I want all of our young people down here. And then we're after this, we're going to have, y'all, you that are in college, I want you that are going to college, I want you down here. Nobody's biting anybody. This is just a prayer meeting. Can y'all just scoot in a little bit? Because I'm going to have the church come and we're going to pray. Parents, hear your children. Calls of God. Call of God. Call of God. Call of God on their life. Calls of God on their life. What I mean, God has, He has them in His hand. Yes. And He has a plan, particular plan for them. A particular plan for their life. And what I'm wanting to do today is we're going to gather behind them and we're going to pray for them. Ministry team, please, up here on the platform, you're going to help me. We're going to pray for them. And young people, as we lay hands on, pray for you, receive this from us. All ministry team up here, thank you. We're going to pray for you. I want you to receive this, and I want you to, in your mind, while we're praying for you, I want you to say, God, I pray today you help me to receive what they're praying and to receive your direction into my life. Lord, I wanted to receive direction into my life. I don't want my life to have more chapters than it needs. But I also want you to hear me today. If you make a mistake, I want you to understand the story about Jonah is a story of great, great mercy. Don't ever brand yourself as a failure. Label yourself as one that got up and started again. Label yourself as one that's going to go depend on the mercy of God. And if you fail the second and third time, you brand yourself as the one that's going to come back and let God's mercy touch you again and again. Amen. Don't ever say, I've gone too far. Don't ever get into that void where the enemy would like to brand you and make you turn you into be a loser and cause you to think you're not worthy of God anymore. But get back up and say, the mercy of God is greater than my biggest failures, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to plead Him again, and I'm going to plead my cause, and I'm going to say, God, cover me one more time. And God will, God will, God will. Now the rest of you, I'd like for you to come in behind these youth. You're going to pray with us, okay? Oh, God is awesome in this place. I feel the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. There's a presence of the Lord here today. And it is this kind of a presence where young people hear and feel the call of God on their life. And you may have a call and you know, but it might be a little blurry. And I want God to clarify it a little for you today. Because the Lord is here. Oh, He's here. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. He is here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And young people, if your life takes you to another city, don't let a day go by when you know you're going to be there before you find out where that church is at. Amen. Don't let a day go by. Don't let a week go by. Don't ever let a week go by. Because the space that you have between where you are and that space between when you're planning on finding that church, that space is where the enemy works on our young people. That's why this age group, they're more apt to leave than any other time. Don't be a statistic. Say, God, I got to have you, Lord. I've got to find you in the power of your spirit today. I got to find and attach myself to the kingdom. Attach myself to the church. I want God to have His way in the life of these young people. But young people, don't ever succumb to the labeling of the enemy to where he marks you half off and makes you think you're not worthy to be a part of the kingdom anymore. You got a call. God is going to give you the power to rise up and accomplish His will. God is able right now. You know what I feel in the Holy Ghost is there's already some here that have already flipped the switch and said, well, I'm trying to find God's plan B for my life. Let's shove that out of the way, please. Let's go back to plan A. How? Mercy. Mercy. Amen. God's mercy. Let's do exactly what God intended for us to do the very first time. Don't mark yourself down. There's nothing that you've done, nothing that you've done that's going to lower you in God's sight, and being fit for his kingdom. Nothing. I'm sorry. We used to sing a song in the choir. It was my least favorite song because my wife made me sing one of the verses. And it was probably everybody's least favorite because we had a lot of good songs. Choir sounded good singing it. But the song was, there's bigger sins than that beneath the blood. Bigger sins than that beneath the blood. The thing about being young, it's great, it's awesome. But one of the things you don't know is you don't know the stories behind the leaders in the churches. Now, see, it's dangerous for me to say that, but I don't think you'll take advantage of me. What you could say is, oh, pastor's saying there's people that fail in pastor churches and or pastor's wives. I'm saying that, but that's not saying, why don't you try that path? No. I'm saying God can take a mess and he can create awesome beauty out of it.